things together. If you guys haven't checked out our website, check it out. It's impact.newlifecarney.org. Leave off the www. For some reason, that won't get you there. Just type in impact.newlifecarney.org. And then we are going to podcast all of our sermons. And once we get, in the next couple weeks, we'll get the video things going. And all of our fine arts skits, the skits that our drama team will do, those types of things, will all be through the podcast so you can show your parents and whatnot. But if you miss it on Wednesday night and you want to catch up on what we're talking about, you can check out the website. Last week, we asked ourselves to admit how selfish we are. If we live by our sin nature, we really are selfish people, aren't we? Everybody shake their head, said, that's right, Pastor Chris, we is selfish. We discuss the difference between what we need and what we want. And we said that God has a different life for us to live by rather than just our sinful nature, rather than just by what we want. We said that Jesus, if you look at his life, he was a guy who met the needs of others. And so the title of the message tonight is part two of this message called, It's Not About Me. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not about me. All right. Jesus was a need meter when he lived on earth, and he is still today. We discussed this, that people have three needs. Number one, does anybody remember? Yes? Physical needs. Yes, they have physical needs. Number two, emotional needs. Excellent. And then someone said number three already, spiritual needs. They have physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And tonight we are going to focus in on this number three, spiritual need. Remember, I gave the illustration that every single person who has ever created was created with a God-shaped vacuum in their life. That's the spiritual need that they have. This God-shaped emptiness, this hole in their life. Everybody has that hole without Christ. We talked about this, that we are created in God's image. We're created in God's image, and until we invite Him by His Spirit to come and fill that God-shaped vacuum in our life, there's this emptiness. And people try to fill it with other things. We talked about it: popularity, addictions, sex, money, power, relationships, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on to try to fill this emptiness, this desire to have purpose. And until you fill that place with God, you will go through life empty. Tonight, we are going to look deeper at the spiritual needs. First, we're going to give you about 4 to 5 minutes in your breakout group session number one to look at John 15:13. Breakout group leaders, if you could lead that, I'm going to give you about 4 or 5 minutes. Go. All right. Hey, just breakout group leaders, make sure we're not buzzing through the questions. Go deeper. Spend the whole time that you have. So make sure you know that we're not just trying to get through the questions. We want to really dig deep and think through these things. We're going to talk for a moment about spiritual needs that people have. Eyes up here. People have spiritual needs. Say spiritual needs. Okay, spiritual needs are this. We have these spiritual needs to be forgiven, to be brought into a right relationship with God. This is not religion, because some of us think, okay, spiritual needs, you're talking about forgiveness and sin and the cross. This is religion. It's not religion, because religion, gang, going through the motion doesn't fill the God-shaped vacuum in our life. Because see, sin stands between us and God. And so the spiritual need is we need that gap to be filled. We need somebody to come in and take that roadblock out of the way. Jesus did that. He did that. He took away sin to bridge the gap, to fill the God-shaped hole in our life. And we're going to look at the life of Jesus and see how he met the spiritual needs of people and how we can do the same and how we can follow in his footsteps and living this life that's not about me. There was this woman known as the woman at the well. Raise your hand if you ever remember that story from Sunday school. All right. Jesus comes up and he finds this woman at the well. All right. And he's thirsty, and she's obviously thirsty, or she's getting water to do dishes or whatever. And he begins to talk to her about being thirsty. You remember the story? He begins to talk to her about being thirsty. Now, Jesus was a guy who, when you read about his encounters with people, he always went after, ultimately, the spiritual need of that person. He goes right for the spiritual need. He starts off by talking about thirst and then goes right into this in John 4:14. He said, can you believe that my phone is on? Somebody's calling me. What am I thinking? Yeah, so I'm going to hang this up. I apologize, guys. Man, I don't know. It wasn't God. And they're calling again. So, all right. And you guys know me by now. I can't do two things at once. So I had to stop speaking right there for a moment. All right, John 4:14. He said this, and look in your notes if you have them. The water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring within them, giving them eternal life. He goes right towards her spiritual need and begins to talk about this water that gives them eternal life. And Jesus says to her, he says, go and get your husband. You remember that part of the story? And what does she say? I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you're right. You don't have a husband. You have had five husbands. And the dude that you're living with right now, you're not even married to him. Wow. Jesus begins to start to do surgery and expose her need, her spiritual need in her life. And what does she say? Wowzers. That's the Greek translation of her response, is wowzers. No, I'm just kidding. She says, wow. And then she changes the subject. So she's like, whoa, dude, you're talking about my life. I'm going to change the subject. And she says, you must be a prophet. And she, you see how she kind of turns the angle, turns the story to start talk about him. You must be a prophet. And Jesus is talking about her past and trying to give her living water for eternal life to meet her spiritual need. And she changes the subject. Does that ever happen here on Wednesday night? Huh? I see it all the time from up here. Sometimes I can see you squirm in your seat, you know, when God is talking to you and I'm trying to talk to you. Sometimes I can see you start move from taking notes to writing notes, you know what I mean? And you start to try to change the subject. Have you ever asked your friend about their relationship with God and they changed the subject? Have you ever tried to start, for many of us, maybe in this room, we don't have a lot of history with starting spiritual conversations. But for those of you who do, have you ever tried to ask your friend about a spiritual thing, about the relationship with God, and they change the subject? Happens all the time. Do you want to live, here's the question for tonight. Do you want to live a life that says it's not all about me? It's not about me. Then if we are going to live that life, we need to model what Jesus did and meet the physical and emotional and spiritual needs of people. And our spiritual needs are sometimes the hardest needs to see and to meet. And here's a couple things we need to know about the spiritual needs. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, and there's going to be a quiz, by the way, at the end of the night. There's going to be a quiz, so remember these things. Number one, every person needs Christ. Say that out loud with me. Every person needs Christ. Romans 3:9 says, for we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. Okay, so he sets it up. Everybody is under the power of sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. Everybody is under the power of sin. Is anyone perfect without mistakes? Absolutely not. Look around your table. Look around your table. Is there anybody perfect at your table? All right. Anybody here think you're perfect? As soon as you raise your hand, you're done. You know what I'm saying? You see, sin, guys, separates every person from Christ. So, every person needs Christ to bridge that gap. Number two, the second spiritual need. This is important not just for you to know about yourself, gang, listen, but it's important for you to understand these principles if you're going to live a life that's not about you. Number two, God loves every person and has provided for their salvation. God loves every person and has provided for their salvation. The murderer, the drug addict, the rebellious, God loves every person and he has made a way for them. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You see, God is totally in love with you and your friends who don't know Christ. God is totally, absolutely in love with them. I think about my son and my daughter, Ryan and Juliana, and baby Puccini number 3, who's coming in a couple weeks, and we don't know that name yet. But I think about my kids and how much I love them. And sometimes I go into their room, and parents understand that, parents who are here tonight. I go into their room when they're sleeping, and I just watch them sleep. And I just love my kids so much. And to think, for me to know how much I love them, but to understand that God loves them even more than I do, that's hard for me to fathom and understand. But that's how infinite, how great, how awesome God's love is. Because see, my love is imperfect. My love may fail at times. My love is not like God's love. God's love is infinite and perfect. Number 3, the third need. God desires to save each lost person. There's some people who would argue with you and with me on that point, but I believe that God has a desire to save each lost person. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "For he wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth." 1 John 2:2 says, "He is the sacrifice for our sins. He takes away not only our sins, but the sins of the world." I remember a time when I was very, very young in youth ministry, working with teenagers. I was just a couple years out of being a teenager myself, and we went on a canoe trip. How many are looking forward to the float trip this year down the Niobrara? One of my favorite times. And we went on a canoe trip, and there were these two girls who didn't know how to canoe. And it wasn't a nice, lazy river like the Niobrara. It was a river you really had to work at to canoe down. And so Lynette and I tied their canoe onto our canoe, and we pulled them down the river, and it was annoying. You know what I mean? I mean, we had to lug them down the river, and we kind of were trying to teach them. We're trying to show them how to steer the boat and whatnot. Finally, it got to a point where it looked like they were doing okay. They were getting it down. So we stopped for lunch, and we said, "Okay, you guys ready to go on your own?" They said, "Yes." So we let them go on their own. We just got trucking down the river, going down the river. All of a sudden, the storm clouds come out, right? We're getting towards the end of the trip, and the storm clouds come out, and the lightning starts. I mean, it's just pouring. It's just lightning. It's just raining. We finally get to the end where we are to pull off the river, and we pull out. All the rest of the kids are either already, they've finished before us, so they're right behind us. And we're waiting for the two girls, Nadia Risk. I remember that was one of the girls' names. Nadia, and I forget the other girl's name. And we're waiting for them, waiting for them, waiting for them. We're looking down the river. We don't see a sight of them. We don't see them at all. And we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. We waited 4 hours for them. And how many of you know that I was freaking out a little bit? That it's storming, it's raining, and here I am, and brand new to youth ministry, and I've drowned two girls down the river. You know, I've lost them. I had lost these girls canoeing down the river. So we called, and we didn't wait 4 hours in that time period. We did call the authorities and the people who knew what to do, and they got a power boat, and they found the girls, and they had toppled their canoe over, and it got water in it, you know, and they didn't know how to get that out. So they're just walking down the shore going, "Chris, Lynette," they're screaming for us. And so I still remember them pulling up with the motorboat, and they're just soaked, and they're just freezing, and they're just mad at us, you know, because they were lost. But I remember that feeling that I had lost these girls. I had all these kids that I had to watch, but these other two were out there, and I felt this helpless feeling. Do you know God desires to save each lost person? He's looking at the river and saying, man, there's a lot of lost people out there, and he has a desire to save them. Number 4, God has chosen to give his message through you. This is what you need to know about people's spiritual needs. God has chosen to give his message through you. Acts 1:8 tells us this, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That's saying, you're going to be a witness in your hometown, in your region, in your country, and to the world. God has designed you. He has called you. He's created you to give his message through you. So here's what God wants to do in your life. Number 1, he wants to change you in ways you never thought you could ever change yourself. Number 2, he wants to give you a reason to live. Number 3, he wants to help you to do the right thing. Think about this. He wants to, number 4, give you a heart for other people, live a life that's not about you. Number 5, he wants to save you and take you to heaven to live with him forever. And I could probably go on and on and on and on and on and on and on of what God has planned and has in store for your life. Right now, I want you guys to discuss in breakout groups about 5 minutes. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter number 5, verse 20. And we're going to give you breakout group leaders 4 to 5 minutes. Please take your time and go deep with your students. Ready, set, go. Okay. Hey, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. And actually, I'm going to ask the questions and answer them. Okay? First question in your notes. How can I develop a heart for others and live a life that's not about me? Okay? How can I do that? First of all, practical step. You need to practice and cultivate this in your life where you show genuine concern for other people. Have you ever had somebody tell you something where they were showing concern but they faked it? You know, like, I'm really sorry, and they weren't really sorry. How many have done that? I'm sure that I've done. I'm sure we've all done that. But practice showing genuine concern. Ladies, you are way better at this than most guys, at least. And guys, we could take a cue from ladies. But show genuine concern. One of our youth leaders, I sat down with them this past week, and we had kind of a talk through about youth ministry and different things. And they said this phrase that's so true. We've heard it over and over and over, but it's so, so true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Have you ever heard that before? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You see, your friends, listen, they don't care about the 5 things that I talked about tonight until they know that you genuinely care about them. They don't care that you know all these principles until they really... They don't care that you know all the 4 spiritual or the 3 needs that they have and the 4 elements of a spiritual need that we talked about tonight until they really know that you care. Number two, this is a way that you can develop a heart for others. Share your story. Share your story. For some of you, that is so way out there. Share my story. What does that mean? Where do I start? How do I do that? And we want to help you with that. But think about this. Share your story. Because who can really argue with a story? If you're a Christian, gang, if you have followed Christ, if you're a follower of Christ tonight, you have a story. Maybe it's a story where you lived a life apart from Christ and you did some things you wish you hadn't done, and Christ came into your life and set you free from the chains in your life. You have that story to relate. Some of you say, Pastor Chris, I don't even remember when I first trusted Christ or said the prayer or got saved, whatever you want to call it. Because I was raised in this thing. Do you know what? That is an awesome story that you have to share. Share your story. Remember the blind guy that we talked about last week, who Jesus spit in the mud, loogied it all up, put it in his eyes? I mean, imagine if you were that dude, would you not have a story? You know what I'm saying? Jesus came by and loogied up some mud and put it in my eyes and he told me to go wash it. Now I can see. You know, what a story. You have a story, gang. Share your story. You may argue with what I'm saying, but you can't deny my story. That's the truth. Number three, to help you develop a heart for others and live a life that's not about me. Number three, extend an invitation. Extend an invitation. Write that down in your notes. Write that down in your notes. Extend an invitation to talk, to listen. Let me ask you a question. Do you talk more than you listen? Do you talk more than you listen? Think about this, gang. Extend an invitation to somebody with the purpose in mind to listen to them. To look for an opportunity to share your story, but also to listen to them. Maybe that's to come over to your house for dinner. Maybe that's to go to a game. But you want to extend an invitation to listen. Number four, something you need to know. If you're going to develop a heart for others, expect a variety of responses. Expect it. Go into it knowing that maybe the first time out the chute, that somebody is going to respond in a way that's going to be unpleasant. I've been a Christian most of my life. And do you know how many people have blown me off? You know, when it comes to this thing of following Christ. Do you know how many people in my life have blown that off? Do you know what? Jesus promised that would happen. He promised it would happen. And so there's times where we plant seeds and we feel like we've been blown off, but we've shared our story. We've shown the love of Christ. We show genuine concern. We extended an invitation to listen, and we were blown off, but maybe we were, what the Bible says, we were planting a seed in their life. And then there's going to come a time where you get to see what we call, we use in the Christian realm, we get to see the harvest, where we get to lead someone to a place where they've trusted Christ and they've accepted Him. We get to disciple them on. How many have ever done that? How many have ever in this room have ever experienced that? Leading someone to that place where they've crossed over, they've trusted Christ. Raise your hand. Okay, a couple of you. Those of you who've experienced that, you're not in an elite club, so that's not why I had you raise your hand. But those of you who experienced that, there's nothing, there's hardly anything like that. Being able to do that, and it just kind of that sense that God has allowed you to play a part in bringing them to Him. There's nothing like that. But expect a variety of responses. Here's five steps with five people I want you to listen to and think about. Five steps with five people. Those of you who are campus missionaries, we have what we call a five-friend what?
Focus.
Five-friend focus. Here's the five steps with five people I'm going to mention to you tonight. Tell them you're a Christian. That's step number one. Some of you have been avoiding that, you know, all 13 of your years. Tell them you're a Christian, though. Invite them. Step number two, invite them to an appropriate program. That would be something like an impact service, or that would be an evangelistic cure night. That would be in a program, something like that. Maybe it's just over to your house. Number three, tell them why you became a Christian. Tell why you became a Christian. Number four, tell how you became a Christian. And number five, ask them if they want to become a Christian. Now, you may not do all those in the same sitting, okay? You may not go through all those steps in the same moment. But that's something for you to work through. Have I told them I'm a Christian? Have I invited them to hang with me and spend time with me? And then finally, number five, on how can I develop a heart for others, follow up with the possible, write that down, that's love, and ask God for the impossible. It's through prayer. Follow up with the possible by loving them and ask God for the impossible, praying for them. Follow up means you extend an invitation and somebody totally rejects you. They say, I'm an atheist. Forget it. I don't care. I don't believe it. And you still are there to be their friend and to show them love. And then you ask God for the impossible. You ask God, please soften their heart. God, please let them see my love not as an intrusion or not as preaching at them, but may their heart be softened. I want you to do this right now in your breakout groups. I want you to review. So session number three for you guys. And then breakout groups, I want you guys to pray and close on your own. And tonight, if you need to trust Christ, you need to take that step to surrender your life to Christ, please let your breakout group leader know before you leave. Or you can come and see me if you want to. I want to pray for you. But let's do our review and let's pray together. I love you guys. There's nothing you can do about it. See you next week. Bring your friends.